This week on Straight Talk Africa, an old virus now has a new strain that is spreading outside of the continent.
The situation constitutes a public health emergency of international concern.
Mpox, formerly known as monkeypox, spread from the Democratic Republic of Congo in 2022. The virus is changing faster than expected, and many countries across Africa do not have the funding or the tools to fight it. The international community is stepping in. Will it be effective? What does it take to fight and win the battle against Mpox? Straight Talk Africa starts right now. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa. I'm your host, Vincent McCoury. This is the second time in 3 years that the World Health Organization has designated Mpox as a global emergency. And this time there are fears that this new strain of the virus is more aggressive. It has already spread to Kenya, Rwanda, Burundi, and Uganda. And there are fears that it might spread to countries in the Horn of Africa that are experiencing conflict and have compromised healthcare systems. For more on the spread of the Mpox epidemic, we turn to our health reporter, Lino Mbudu. Lino.
Hello, Vincent.
Thank you. Now, first, we want to get the latest news on the spread of Mpox. To which countries are we hearing reports from?
So basically, the virus is spreading beyond Africa. We've seen cases in Europe, in Asia, but of course, Africa is really where a lot of the outbreak is happening. The Democratic Republic of Congo being the country that is experiencing a very, very high rate of transmission as of today, according to numbers, over 22,000 suspected cases, and 18,000 of them being in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, one of the things that the Africa CDC director said, he says that these numbers are maybe the tip of the iceberg, because there are countries that do not have the means to really detect and confirm their suspected cases. So this is still ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, everybody's curious, how does it transmit?
So Mpox is a zoonotic disease, so according to experts, fundamentally it's from animal to humans. But of course, what we are seeing is a human-to-human transmission, because the virus is spreading around among people. And the good news is it's not airborne, because that's one of the things that people are concerned with, given the experience with COVID. So people will have it through human contact to contact, and you'll also see skin-to-skin contact. If people touch objects that are infected, for example, even bed sheets and surfaces, they can get infected. There is also gears, anything that a person would is infected will touch can become a mean of transmission. Mm-hmm. So direct contact to contact through bodily fluid, there have been cases of sexual transmission. This is still being investigated in terms of how exactly it is transmitted sexually. When we saw the outbreak in 2022, that was the first global emergency declaration by the WHO, many of the patients were among people having men having sex with men. So that was one indication of the fact that Mpox was being spread through sexual contact.
Yes. Now, there has been a lot reported on vaccines. There are no vaccines in many African countries. What is the latest on vaccine distribution and availability?
So Nigeria became the first country with this outbreak to receive its first dose of vaccine, 10,000 doses of vaccine. There are countries, a country like DRC still hasn't received a substantial amount. So reports are saying that there is a very serious problem with vaccine distribution. And one of the issues is the fact that the vaccine is not manufactured on the continent. It has been a challenge with the COVID outbreak. So vaccine manufacturing is really impeding the access to vaccination with mpox as well. And so the Africa CDC is in talks with Bavarian Nordic, which is the company that manufactures the vaccine, the mpox vaccine, to receive some doses. Countries have pledged, such as Japan, Germany, and so the DRC is supposed to receive its first batch of vaccines this week, as well as a country like Burundi.
Wow. Thank you very much for the updates, Lino. That was Lino Mudu. We invite you to watch our show, Health Living, where a myriad of health topics are discussed. As the world battles the mpox virus, observers say the surge is exposing the world's most vulnerable. According to UNICEF, children are at significant risk, and the new variant adds an extra burden for families living through conflict and displacement. Zenim Neti Zaidi reports from Goma.
Since June 13, 2024, the Munigi Treatment Center in Nyiragongo Territory has received more than 400 patients suspected mpox cases. Inside these tents, the medical team works hard to treat patients and stop the disease from spreading. Kashe Mohangi is one of the people receiving care.
I had a fever and a bad headache. My relatives told me it was smallpox. I was taken to hospital, and here the doctors take care of me every step of the way.
Patients are treated at Nyiragongo General Hospital, where the humanitarian organization MEDER has set up a special site to help those most at risk. MEDER health advisor Pierre Olivier Ngajole says the situation is serious.
The situation is worrying given that several cases have been reported in IDP camps.
To stop the spread of mpox in the camps, workers are teaching people about the symptoms, where to go for help, and how to protect themselves. Jean Kashombo, who was displaced by war, has spent the last 2 weeks helping his community prevent the spread of the disease.
I came to deliver a message about the mpox disease. I noticed that this disease has become viral in our community. I've asked displaced people like me to avoid shaking hands, avoiding contact during greetings, and washing their hands regularly.
More than 500 cases of mpox have been reported in North Kivu. The Democratic Republic of the Congo has been hit hardest by the disease in Africa, with at least 548 people dying from mpox since the beginning of the year. Reporting from VOA Africa, I'm Zanem Netizaidi.
Well, thank you, Zanem Netizaidi, for that report. Now, for more insight on how we can contain the spread of the mpox virus in African countries, we are joined by Dr. Ahmed Oguel Ouma, Vice President of Global Health Strategy at the United Nations Foundation. He joins us from Nairobi, Kenya, and from Durban, South Africa. We are joined by epidemiologist and Dr. Salim Abdul Karim, Chair of Africa's Center for Disease Control and Prevention Emergency Consultative Committee. Gentlemen, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Well, I want us to start with this declaration of emergency. Twice in 3 years, 2022 and now 2024, it has been declared by WHO as a global emergency. First, what makes that come to a point of being a global emergency, given that it has been around for those 3 years? Doctor, let me start with Dr. Ouma.
Thanks, Makori, and thanks for having me. The fact that we are having these emergencies being declared twice in a very short time, it suggests that we are not tackling the outbreaks of mpox fully, and therefore there are pockets that remain undetected, which can then be able to cause more outbreaks across the globe. So we need to really be looking at how effectively are we bringing these outbreaks under control.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Karim, the whole question of the transmission, I think sometimes is not clear to many. How is it transmitted? Is this a sexually transmitted disease, as was established way back 2022 when it emerged, or which is the most kind of worrying form of transmission of mpox?
Good afternoon to you and to all of your viewers. So let's just take one step back. In 2022, in July, the WHO, the World Health Organization, declared a public health emergency due to mpox. That particular mpox emergency was due to a strain of mpox known as clade 2B. That originally was described in 2017 in Nigeria, and we thought it had disappeared, but actually it emerged again. And clade 2B spread throughout the world in the first public health emergency, causing over 100,000 cases, and was largely being spread in Europe and in the US and so on through within the community of men who have sex with men. But what we saw is by May of 2023, the cases and the deaths started rapidly declining to the point where, by the end of last year, we were seeing very few cases of this clade 2B form of the virus. However, throughout all this time, as cases were diminishing in the rest of the world, the cases in the DRC were actually rising. And it's due to a different strain of the virus. So what you saw in the first public health emergency, clade 2B, is different from what we see in this public health emergency, which is clade 1B. And indeed, within the DRC, we have clade 1A spreading in parts of the DRC, but particularly in the southeastern corner, in Sud Kivu, in that whole area, we are seeing clade 1B. Now, clade 1B has been only recently described. Mm-hmm. It's possible that it had been occurring in terms of zoonosis from animals to humans in the past. But currently, what we are seeing is that particular strain is spreading from person to person and is driving this current wave of infections. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's unusual about it is that not only is it being spread through close contact, which we know mpox is the normal way in which it spreads, but it seems to also be spreading through sexual transmission. Mm-hmm. And the evidence for that comes from a recent study which showed that a sizable proportion, close to a third of the cases at one stage in Sud Kivu, commercial sex workers. And so that's why we think there's also sexual transmission with the current clade of the virus.
Okay. Dr. Ouma, we lost you for a second there, but we have talked a little bit about the different variants, and of course some of those have emerged, disappeared, and resurfaced. Question is, when it comes to vaccination, how does that complicate the efficacy of the existing vaccines? And so what should we understand about how to deal with a new variant?
Thanks, Macquarie. There are many tools that we have in public health to address control of mpox, particularly the variants we have now. And vaccination is just one of those tools. Now, when we see the emerging and reemergence of these mpox different variants across the continent, without the presence of vaccines, it means that there is one tool that we are not using effectively enough. The public health tools that exist are being used, but not this one of vaccination. Now, we also need to see and know that the current vaccines have not yet been licensed for public use, and any use is going to be of the emergency type, and that's what WHO is going through right now. Mm-hmm. Second is that most have really been designed for smallpox before. before, and now they are being refined to address the issues of Mpox. We need to have a situation where very specific vaccines designed for Mpox are the ones that are being used. And as the different variants come into circulation, we need to ensure that the vaccines that we have, indeed, the diagnostics testing kits that we have are addressing the new clads and variants that are coming into the population.
Well,
but my message would be that we have many other public health tools that we need to be putting into play on top of working on vaccines and vaccination.
Indeed. Well, it's time now for a short break. When we return, we'll continue our discussion on how to contain the spread of the Mpox virus in Africa and save lives. Stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
Elder care can come as a job that one did not apply for, anticipate, or even desire to do. However, whether a responsibility or an obligation, it is a task that must be done by a family member or a professional to assist the elderly. Today we examine the challenges as well as resources available to best care for the elderly in our family or community. Join the conversation each week right here on Our Voices.
Welcome back. We are discussing the Mpox epidemic in Africa and the efforts to contain it. My guests are Dr. Ahmed Ogwell Omar, Vice President of Global Health Strategy at the United Nations Foundation, and epidemiologist Dr. Salim Abdul Karim, Chair of Africa's Center for Disease Control and Prevention Emergency Committee. Now, Dr. Karim, since 2005, Mpox cases have been reported in the DRC in their hundreds, and now we're seeing several people have already died. Yet we're talking about there are no vaccines, but when you look closely, there are hundreds of thousands of vaccines in the West. So why has it been difficult to get vaccines where they're needed most as quickly as possible?
So when we look at Mpox, there are many tools that we use, and traditionally case detection is critical. So when you've got to find the cases, and when you find cases, you've got to do the tracing and then vaccinate those individuals. Now, the challenge we have is that the vaccines are not available in their millions. They're not even stockpiled in the companies themselves. It would have to be manufactured. But there are stockpiles in several countries in the West. And it's really disappointing to see that these countries have not dipped into their stockpiles to say, you know, this is the amount we need for our own country, and here's the spare that we can supply to Africa. Because I think it's just failing to learn the lesson of COVID-19, to wait for the virus to arrive on your own shores when you could be doing everything you can to prevent it from even spreading in Africa. So I think that's the disappointing thing in this whole equation in the vaccines for mpox.
Dr. Omar, I was just listening the other day to the CEO of Bavarian Nordic, the company that manufactures these vaccines, and they were saying, well, they're trying to figure out whether they should start manufacturing because they haven't received, they're not sure about whether those orders will be honored by the WHO, the African CDC, and so on and so forth. So are we, as a continent, is the continent kind of hostage to, to the manufacturing companies in the West? And so what can be the solution so that Africans who need these vaccines can access them as quickly as they need them?
First is the immediate and really the emergency right now is to have as many doses as possible to be manufactured by those who have the capacity, and as many of those doses as are needed are delivered to where the problem is, which is on the continent of Africa. This is an emergency, and it is the only way to ensure that mpox does not spread outside of where it is currently circulating. So that's the emergency. The midterm is really to have...
Okay, we have a little technical problem there with Dr. Omar. Dr. Karim, if you had the question, you could chime in on that. And I also wanted to ask an additional question as to why is it taking so long for Africa to have the capacity to produce some of these vaccines, especially given that the continent seems to be bearing the brunt of these global emergencies?
Because of the situation with COVID-19 vaccines, there has been substantial effort put into Africa to be able to manufacture vaccines. And indeed, there are at least two or three countries now that have the capacity to manufacture this particular vaccine. The problem is that the intellectual property in order to manufacture this lies with these companies. And so we can't manufacture it in Africa, even if we wanted to, because of the intellectual property provisions. Now, we had hoped that under the TRIPS agreement, which has a specific clause that eases some of the restrictions on the use of intellectual property in a pandemic situation, we tried to implement that during COVID-19, and that failed. It failed predominantly because countries like Germany wanted to protect their own pharmaceutical industry. And we see the same now in mpox.
So, Dr. Karim, someone may want to push further on that. The intellectual property was a challenge. It was seen during COVID. But what is it about Africa? I mean, India managed to produce their generics, for example, for COVID-19. China was producing theirs. And we know that there were various generic drugs produced for that. So what is it about the continent, and maybe Dr. Omar, if you're back, you can also chime in on this, that makes it harder to get that, the ability or at least the licensing to produce, even if it's generics, of the same drugs or the vaccines that are needed? Dr. Omar, you can come in
The whole process of manufacture is known, and the intellectual property, as Professor Karim has said, there is what is key. What are you manufacturing? And under whose permission are you manufacturing that? The vaccine manufacturing capacity on the continent of Africa is growing. It is not where we would like it to be, but it is the availability and access to those antigens that we need to manufacture that is the biggest challenge. Second is the capacity for what is produced to be bought up quickly is another challenge. And we need to get to a place where our own African countries and the government can be able to put up resources to purchase what is being manufactured. And those friends of Africa who support the continent, especially during times of emergency like this, can also be able to put up the resources to purchase what is being manufactured. The key, however, is going to be availability of the license to be able to produce on the continent of Africa, particularly at the time of emergencies like now. That is still not yet available to those who want to manufacture on the continent.
Yes. Given all the disadvantages that the continent faces, Dr. Karim, what should African citizens do at the moment? What must governments do in order to prevent the spread and, as much as possible, any deaths from Mpox?
I really think we need to be doing three things. The first is we already have four countries in Africa, at least, Egypt, Morocco, Senegal, and South Africa, who are already manufacturing vaccines. They've been just manufacturing different vaccines, not Mpox, but they already have the capacity to manufacture vaccines and are doing so. They should be given a license to be able to do that, as you heard very well from Dr. Omar. Now, the second thing we need to do is every country in Africa needs to increase their vigilance. So that means they need education programs for their communities, education programs for their healthcare providers. Should they see a case, they need to report it, they need to get the specimens to the laboratory, they need to make a diagnosis. And then the third is that we need all of our countries to ensure that we have good surveillance in place, that we are reporting cases, we are keeping abreast of the situation in the rest of the continent, because as it's spreading, we need to increase our vigilance and to be ready for imported cases that are likely to arrive in many of the countries, not just neighboring, but you know, even in distant parts of the continent.
Dr. Omar, to what extent there's some level of maybe superstition and sometimes stigma impede the detection and treatment of such diseases, especially Mpox right now on the continent?
If we don't control the misinformation, then misunderstanding around Mpox is going to increase, and that will increase the stigma. At the moment, it is not significant enough to affect the public health intervention that have been put in place. And I would urge our governments, all institutions that are concerned, to continue informing the public of the do's and don'ts of Mpox so that we can be able to reach as many as possible and control this outbreak of 2024 as soon as is possible. It is possible as we have it today to be able to do that using all the public health tools, including the vaccines when they become available.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. We have to leave it right here. Dr. Ahmed Ogwell Omar and Dr. Salim Abdul Karim, thank you both for the thought-provoking discussion. We appreciate your time, and thanks to our affiliate stations for broadcasting Straight Talk Africa across the continent. I'll see you next time.